What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's very own, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 328, of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. This episode here, your boy is going to recap WrestleMania 40. That's right. Your boy is going to recap he's going to recap the 40th edition to WrestleMania. For those of y'all that have been following the podcast, when it comes to the big events of WWE, whether it's a WrestleMania or a Royal Rumble or a Survivor Series or a SummerSlam, chances are you might get an episode from me, whether it's a preview episode or a recap. And in this case, I had to do it. And besides, I had took almost a month off from podcasting, so I figured, okay, if I'm going to come back, I gotta go back to back for y'all. So I did the recap for March Madness. Why not spin the block and then do a WrestleMania recap? So this is what we about to do on this one. Now, I'm going to give... I'm gonna be all over the place with this because there were some things I liked, there were some things I didn't like, there were some things I loved, so I'm gonna speak on all of them. Obviously we already know you got night one and you got night two. Night one was okay, but obviously I knew night two would be better. For me, night two was always better. Probably last year, I believe night one last year was better. Because you had Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. And you had the Usos against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I think their night one was better than night two. But this year's night two, way better than night one. Respectfully. But let's just get to the matches. The first match of the night, you had Rhea Ripley against Becky Lynch. Now, again, I'm going to also give y'all who I wanted to win, right? Listen, I love mommy. I love Rhea Ripley. So let's not even sit here and fake the funk. I love me some Becky Lynch, but me personally, I honestly did not want to see her in this match. I honestly didn't. Now, I know there's some people out there that have a love-hate relationship for Becky Lynch. I love Becky Lynch. She's one of my favorite female superstars in the WWE. I just didn't feel like she should have had this spot. Me personally, I wouldn't have mind Liv Morgan having the spot. Because being that she came back from the Royal Rumble and Rhea Ripley was the one that took her out and had her out for all this time, why not continue that storyline? Now, I get it. Becky Lynch, it's a lot of hype revolved around her. She's one of the most paid female superstars. She just put out a book. So, it's a lot of eyes on her. It's a lot of exposure on her. So maybe that might have been the reason on why they put her in this title match. But I ain't gonna lie to you. I wanted Rhea Ripley to win, and I got exactly what I wanted. What did I think of the match? The match was decent. It definitely was not her match against Charlotte last year by any stretch of the imagination. It was not that at all. They had a nice amount of time in the ring. I would say a little close to 20 minutes. So that's a nice little opener match. I was surprised that they opened with that match. I thought that would have been a little later in the card, but I'm not mad at it because the person that I wanted to win won. So I'm okay with that. So there you have it. Next we had the six-pack tag ladder match for the undisputed WWE tag team championships. Now, me personally, you had A-Town Down, which is A-Town Down Under, which is Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Now, there were rumors, like probably a few days before Mania, that they might be taken out of the match. I'm glad that wasn't the case. You had The Awesome Truth, which is Miz and R-Truth. You had Judgment Day, Damian Priest and Finn Balor, who were the undisputed tag team champs, so obviously they was going to be in the match. You had Johnny Gargano and, dang, I can't pronounce dude name, Ciampa. Hopefully I said his name right. Obviously you had The New Day, my boys, Kofi and Xavier Woods. Then you had The New Catch Republic, which is Pete Dunne and Tyler Breit. You had all of these teams, all six of these teams, fighting for the undisputed tag team championships. Now, me personally, the way the match went, I was surprised. Because, see, I'm thinking that you had to grab both championships, Raw and SmackDown. But as the match went on, and when Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, I think they grabbed the SmackDown titles. When they grabbed the SmackDown titles, the announcer announced that, you know, they got the SmackDown titles. But I'm like, wait a minute, you got to go get the other titles. That was my initial reaction. So for me, I'm thinking, with the buzz that R-Truth has been on since he's been back, it's only right that he gets a title. And obviously, he's paired with Miz, and they've had their issues with Judgment Day. It's only right that they win the title. So I'm thinking they're going to win the Undisputed titles regardless. But when Grayson Waller and Austin Theory grabbed the SmackDown titles, I said, oh yeah, Miz and Truth definitely getting the Raw ones. Definitely getting the Raw ones. And that's exactly what happened. Definitely what happened. I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed it. There were some good spots. There were a couple of botches, but for the most part, I definitely enjoyed the match. It was very well entertaining, to say the least. Next, we had Rey Mysterio and Andrade go up against Santos Escobar and Dominik Mysterio. For me, personally, this was a snooze fest. Listen, I love Rey Mysterio. One of my favorites. Just made the Hall of Fame last year. I love Dominik. Like, he has improved in the ring tremendously since he's been a heel. Have no problem with him. But I'm about tired of the whole father versus son shit at WrestleMania. We saw this last year. We didn't need to see it again this year. But I will say this, though. I do enjoy... I don't remember if he spanked him this year. I know he did last year. I'm not sure if he did it this year. But, you know. It was a snooze fest, to say the least. Like, for me, like. That's what I mean. Listen, I went to go wash my dishes. I went to go wash my dishes. I was not intrigued with this match. I was not invested into this match. They could have did with this match. I really didn't give two hells about this match, even though I love Mysterio and Andrade. I'm glad that he's back. Probably the highlight of the match, they didn't even have to do with the match. It was Zelina Vega for me. She was the highlight. Anytime I see her, it's a highlight. So, you know, it is what it is. Next, we had brother versus brother. We had Jimmy Uso against main event Jey Uso. Now, I'm not even going to lie to you. I thought that this match had the potential to be matchup of the night for night one. I really did. I really thought it. I was very much disappointed. And I love the Usos. I love the Usos. I love both of them, Jimmy and Jay. We know what they've done as a tag team. One of the greatest tag teams ever. Definitely one of my favorites. Where do I rank them? We could do that for another episode. Their pushes as single competitors, I've loved it as well. And obviously, they said that they would have loved to go against each other at a WrestleMania. And we seen the writing on the wall ever since last year at the Royal Rumble. The writing was on the wall immediately after that. Immediately after that. We've had three brother versus brothers at WrestleMania. And the younger brother has always been the victor. Bret Hart and Owen at WrestleMania 10. I remember that very well. I sat on the lap of my babysitter, RIP Miss Rachel, and watched that match. I watched Jeff Hardy against the Hardys. Well, Jeff Hardy against Matt Hardy. And Jeff Hardy won. And then we get this match. Brother versus brother. And we were disappointed. Now, yes, Jey Uso won. But it was nothing memorable about this match. Nothing. Trust me, when I go back and watch WrestleMania, which I often do, this won't be one of the matches that I go back to watch. Let's just leave it at that. Let's just leave it at that. First of all, they had a little over 10 minutes. They ain't even wrestling for that long. All I saw was a bunch of super kicks. That's it. Yeah, this match was very much a letdown. Because I really thought when it came, like when I saw the matches for night one, I was like, yo, this might be a potential for match of the night. I really thought it. But I will say this, though. The match that I thought was going to be match of the night was very much match of the night. And I'm getting to that very soon. Next, we had 6-woman tag match. We had Damage Control. Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane going up against the sisters. That's what I call them. I call them the sisters. Bianca Belair, Naomi, and the debut. Her WWE debut, I gotta say that. Because she was in AEW. The WWE debut of Jade Cargill. Now, again, I wanted Awesome Truth to win the tag titles. I got half of it right. I wanted Mommy to beat Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. So I was 2-0. I wanted Main Event Jay to beat Jimmy. Won that match. Obviously, I picked Rey Mysterio because I love Rey Mysterio. I forgot. There was another highlight in that match. And that's when Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce, Philadelphia Eagle greats, came out with Lucha Mask and helped Rey Mysterio and Andrade win that match. I forgot about that highlight. I was so stuck on Zelina Vega that I totally forgot to mention them. But I had to give them a shout out as well because they helped Rey Mysterio and Andrade win that match. So for the first four matches, I'm undefeated. The first four matches went exactly as I expected. The victors were exactly who I thought they would be. This probably was the easiest match to pick. This is probably the easiest match to pick. Because as much as I love Damage Control, and I'm glad that Dakota Kai is back, I'm very much glad that she's back. I love Asuka and I love Kairi Sane. But there was no way that they was going to have them beat Bianca Belair, Naomi, and a debuting Jade Cargill on the grandest stage. That was not going to happen. And I also felt that this match would be a squash match. I knew it would not get that much time, and it didn't. Literally 8 minutes is all it got. That's all it got. I wrote down the times for these matches. Like, I was so invested into this event that I had the timer on that the time the matches started. As soon as the match started, start. When the match ended, stop. All these matches was on timers. And this match was only 8 minutes. That's it. Only 8 minutes. And I felt that's all it needed. That's all it needed. See the debut of Jade Cargill. Let these girls get their spots in. And then let Jade Cargill take it home. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. So yeah, I mean, I could have used this match to clean my damn dishes. But I definitely want to see my sisters, though. I ain't even going to lie to you. I definitely want to see. I want to see Bianca. I want to see Naomi. And I definitely want to see Jade Cargill, because I'm not going to lie to you. I don't watch AEW as much. And when she was there, it was probably only one match I seen her in. And it was a match with her and Shaq against Cody Rhodes. And I forgot who the female was on his team. So I don't really have a sample size to have as it pertains to watching her perform, but I was able to see her twice so far in WWE, and that was at the Royal Rumble and now on the grandest stage of them all. And their entrance was amazing. Their entrance was amazing as well. So I was definitely all for it. Now we get to what I think was the match of the night. And that would be the ring general, Gunther, against Sami Zayn. Gunther has had one hell of a run as Intercontinental Champion. Now, we all know this. Records are meant to be broken. And we also know when you become champ, eventually your reign is going to end. I always felt that Gunther's reign would end on a pay-per-view event. Now, I wouldn't have had a problem if Chad Gable beat him on Raw. I wouldn't have had no problem with that at all, because it would have been a shock to me. But with this match with Sami Zayn, I pretty much felt that, yeah, Gunther is going to drop the title. It's just a matter of how he drops it. And this match was amazing. This match definitely was match of the night for night one. No argument at all. But listen, Sami Zayn was taking the beating. He was taking the beating. But he was getting his chops in against Gunther, though. With all due respect, he was definitely getting his chops in. But see, if you really pay attention to WWE, when a family member is in the crowd and they keep showing that loved one, chances are the person that they're cheering for is going to win. And they showed Sami Zayn's wife plenty of times in that match. Plenty of times. But me personally, I already knew he was going to win. I was just trying to see how it was going to play out. And I was very much impressed. My man took a hell of a beating by Gunther and prevailed. Now, I ain't gonna lie, there was a spot that I was nervous. I thought it was a botch. Maybe it wasn't a botch. I forgot exactly what he did. I forgot the move. He basically suplexed him off the top rope, and his head hit the turnbuckle. Now, I'm not sure if that was intentional or what, but that shit was very cringy for me. I was very nervous. And then Sami Zayn did his finisher where he runs to the other side of the rope and just kicks you in your face. I forgot exactly what the move is called. But I will say this, though. Match of the night. I do believe that it's time for Gunther to move up in the tiers. He's done all he could for that Intercontinental title. Me personally, I think he was more of a champ than Roman Reigns, but that's a subject for another day. Because when you think of the Intercontinental Championship, you think of that's the workhorse title. And what Gunther did to that title was nothing but amazing. 600 and something plus days of having that belt. And he brought prestige to that shit. So we gotta salute him for that. We just got to. But I do think it's time for him to step up in the ranks. I think it's time for him to go for those for the big dog belts. I think it's time. I really think it's time. He done paid his dues. He done put in the time. Yeah, I think it's time. I really think it's time. And then we get to the main event. We get to the Bloodline, which is The Rock and Roman Reigns against Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. Now, y'all know how much I love The Rock. And y'all know how much I love Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief. I love Cody Rhodes too, and I love Seth freaking Rollins. So for me, I was torn because Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, they're in my top five of current favorite superstars. So I was kind of torn. But did I have my prediction right on who I think would win? Of course I got it right. See, the first night I was undefeated. All my predictions was right. I knew the Rock and Roman Reigns would win because of this reason right here. Cody Rhodes has to finish his story. He can't go into night two with having without no bloodline interference at all. Oh no, we gotta make it interesting. So when The Rock chose to have this match, well, actually, I think Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, I think they wanted this match. But then The Rock said, since y'all want this match, how about we go bloodline rules? That means that if we win, night two is bloodline rules for the Undisputed title match. And Cody Rhodes, you can't do nothing about it because you had your opportunity, but you lost night one. So me personally, I knew right then and there Roman Reigns and The Rock was going to win. Did you really think they was going to have The Rock come back and lose at a WrestleMania? Hell no. Hell no. So the match went exactly as I thought it would. Now, if you watch that match, you can tell that Seth Rollins is not 100% healthy. I do got to commend him, though, because he's been hurt for quite some time, and he's been showing up pay-per-view after pay-per-view and delivering. Now, this match was very long. Very long. Pause. Almost an hour. But, listen, it went exactly as I thought it would. The Bloodline was going to win, and that's exactly what happened. So then we carry on to night two. And man, oh man, oh man. Drew McIntyre versus Seth freaking Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, let me just start with CM Punk came out as commentator. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, word, he's doing this the whole night? But then I'm like, oh, no. Seth and Drew, they opening. Which something told me that, okay, if they're going to open, that means this match is not going to be for long. And that's when I really knew, like, yeah, Seth is really hurt. He's really hurt. Because for him to open up, yeah, he got to be hurt. And me personally, I knew he was dropping the title. I knew he was. I was just waiting to see how he was going to lose. But I knew he was going to drop the title. I knew he was. Like, Dave, like, when Drew McIntyre won a few years ago, he did it in a performance center with no fans. So, being that he's in the title hunt and being that he's in the title match, and it's in Philly, and it's a lot of it's fans, let him have his moment this time with fans. Let him have it. And even though the match was a little over 10 minutes, I was somewhat impressed. But again, you can tell that Seth Rollins is really hurt. You can tell he is. You can tell he is. Long story short, Drew McIntyre wins the match. And of course, Drew gets emotional. The crowd is cheering. Him and Seth Rollins have a little exchange after the match. For me, it was a positive exchange. And you could see the emotion in Seth Rollins' face. Like, it was to the point that, me personally, it looked like he was crying. Because he knew he was gonna be out for a while with these injuries. That's how important that title meant to him. His passion, his love for the sport. And now that he loses, and now he might be sidelined for a while because of these injuries, yeah, you could tell. You could tell. So what does Drew McIntyre do? He goes out. He greets his wife, greets some family members. Now, any other person would say, you know what? I just won the belt. Let me walk up that ramp and go to the locker room. Not Drew McIntyre. He saw CM Punk and he felt the need to go over there and have a word with CM Punk. CM Punk, being who he is, clapping, giving him a round of applause. And this is the one thing I didn't like that Drew McIntyre did. The man took the title, laid it on the announcer's table, and crawled to CM Punk. You would think he was a female in one of these videos and crawling to the camera. Like, nigga, what the fuck are you doing? Like, that, my nigga, like, come on now. We not doing that. So him and CM Punk have a little exchange. And basically said, you know, when you come back from your injury, I'm coming to look for you. I'm going to end your career. Yada, yada, yada. CM Punk is like, yo, you just won. Why are you worried about me for? He gets up, he gives him the suck it treatment that DX used to do, and that right there just took CM Punk through the roof. The man grabbed his leg, dropped him on the announce table, started beating him up, took off the thing that's been holding his arms, holding his shoulders since he's been hurt, started beating him with it, blew a kiss to Drew McIntyre's wife, and then bam. I'm not going to say the unthinkable happened because I kind of figured it would happen. Damian Priest came out with that Money in the Bank briefcase. And he was coming out to cash in. And this was the perfect time to do it. This was the perfect time to do it. Because see, had Drew just won the match and went backstage, we wouldn't have had to do this. But now that you want to be so worried about CM Punk, and now you done got your ass beat in the process, this was the perfect time for me to come out there and cash in my Money in the Bank. So Damian Priest came out there, cashed it in. Drew McIntyre in the ring, gave him his finishing move, and then bam. 1, 2, 3. Drew McIntyre loses the belt. Damian Priest is your new World Heavyweight Champion. And I'm all for it. I love Damian Priest. I really do. And then when you follow wrestling as much as I do, and some superstars, you know their story. You know what they had to endure before they got that big push. You know the growing pains that they had to deal with before they became superstars. I know Damian Priest's story. And for that to finally come to fruition, where he is now World Heavyweight Champ, very proud of him and very happy for him. Because I ain't gonna lie, I was a little nervous. I'm like, I hope this is not a wasted opportunity with that briefcase. Because again, not everybody has successfully cashed in their money in the bank. Not everybody. Not everybody. I think Baron Corbin didn't cash in successfully. I think Cena didn't cash in successfully. And I think Damian Sandow when he was with the company. So I think them three are the only three that have not cashed in their briefcases successfully. Now, all the women have. But those three I just mentioned, they were done unsuccessfully. Next, we get to Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford with B-Fab against the Final Testament, which is Karrion Kross. What the hell? What was they tag name? I forgot their tag name. Akam and Rezar is their name. AOP, that was their name or some shit like that. Authors of Pain, some shit like that. This was a snooze fest too. The highlight of the match wasn't even the match. It was Snoop Dogg's, it was Uncle Snoop's commentary. His commentary in the match was the highlight. This was a snooze fest. This was a little over about 8.5 minutes. This was a snooze fest. But again, I picked right. I knew the brothers was gonna win. So you know that puts me in a great mood. LA Knight, AJ Styles, singles match. Listen, I love AJ Styles, and I like the emergence of LA Knight. I knew LA Knight was going to win, and he won. This was the match that I hated. And I'm not going to say I hated it because the match wasn't good, because the match was good. I just hated it because the person that I thought was going to lose won. Logan Paul against KO and Randy Orton for the United States Championship. Y'all already know I'm Team RKO, and I love Kevin Owens. But I so wanted Logan Paul to lose. Randy Orton has had every belt in WWE except for the U.S. title. I wanted him to be on that Grand Slam list. I ain't even going to lie to you. Now, I will say this. I have a love-hate relationship with Logan Paul. The whole YouTube sensation, all that bullshit. But he's a hell of a performer. When you think of celebrities who have come into WWE, he might be the best one. He might be the best one. I ain't gonna lie, Bad Bunny is hell of amazing too in the ring. But I might give Logan Paul the edge just because he's had more matches in WWE. I'm not going to hold you. I was very impressed with Logan Paul. Hell, every match he's been in, I've been impressed. And that's the love-hate that I have with him. But I got to give him his props, though. I got to give him his props. Even though I wanted RKO to win. I ain't even going to lie to you. I wanted RKO to win. I was pulling for it. Not even going to hold you. I was pulling for it. Unfortunately, I didn't get it. So, that was my only loss the whole WrestleMania weekend. At least for WWE. NXT, I didn't watch. It was probably two matches in NXT I watched. My girl Roxanne Perez, I had to watch her. And then the main event I watched. That was it. Then we get to the WWE Women's Championship match. My girl, Bayley. My baby, Bayley. Pamela. Whoo, I love me some Bayley, man. Whoo, oh my God, I love me some Bayley. Going up against Io Sky. I knew my girl was going to win. I knew she was going to win. It's been her time. She put Damage Control together. They turned on her, and it was only right that she be the one to take the title away from Io Sky. And I love me some Io Sky. Hell, I vouched for her last year for Money in the Bank. If you don't remember, I was saying there was two people in that match that I wanted to win. Either Io Sky or Zelina Vega. Now, again, my girl Bayley was in the match, but I didn't want her to win. You already won a Money in the Bank, and you cashed it in. But me, personally, I wanted Io Sky to win, because in that way, if she wins, she gets out of that shadow of Bayley. But little did I know, obviously, in situations like this, when you form a group, obviously, members of the group are going to turn on each other. And that's exactly what happened. And I knew they was going to turn on Bayley. It was just a matter of when. They did it on a SmackDown, for crying out loud. And I knew it was coming. As soon as Dakota Kai came back, I knew the turn was coming, and that's exactly what happened. And there was only one person that could take that belt from Bayley. From Io Sky. It was only one person that deserved to take the title from her, and that would have been the person that brung her back in WWE, and that was Bayley. And that's exactly what happened. So y'all know I was happy. Y'all know I was very much excited to see my baby win that belt. Very much excited. And now we get to the main event. Will the story be finished? Or will the tribal chief continue his dominance as undisputed champion? Not for nothing, this match was shorter than the tag match in night one. But we were in for a treat with this match, man. I tell you, I knew Cody was going to win. I was just trying to see how he was going to win. Because one thing we knew was going to happen. We knew the bloodline was going to get involved. We just knew it. One way or the other, every member of the bloodline was going to get involved. Jimmy Uso gets involved first. Who comes after him? Jey Uso. They take the match outside the ring. They take it on the ramp. Jey Uso spears him off the ramp. Bam. Then Cody Rhodes looked like he about to get the win. Solo interrupts it, just like he did last year. Who comes out for Solo? John Cena. Now, I ain't even going to lie to you. There was rumors that Cena was coming. So when I heard his theme music, I wasn't too surprised. Because again, I done heard the rumors that he might show up. So when his music came on, I wasn't that much surprised. He clotheslines Sokoa out the ring. Of course, the Spanish announce table has to get the disrespectful treatment. Has to get the disrespectful treatment. He puts him through the table. If you're Samoa, but The Rock is cooking. The Rock comes out. And let me tell you, man, The Rock. Let me tell you something, man. When The Rock went back to Hollywood Rock, his attire has just been top shelf. The outfit he had on from night two, man, that shit was dope. I ain't even gonna hold you, man. So, of course, we all remember the history with Rock and Cena, even though they had a nice little exchange a few months ago when The Rock was a face and him and Cena was backstage with Pat McAfee. Well, they had a nice little exchange in this match. John Cena did the "you can't see me" thing. It looked like he was trying to give a hit to The Rock. The Rock countered it with a rock bottom. And then The Rock had his famous belt that he was going to use to whoop Cody Rhodes, telling him, "get up, boy." No. In fact, hold on. Something else happened. The Shield music came on. Now, me personally, when that shit came on, I got hype, because I do know they did do that forbidding thing not too long ago at the Royal Rumble, where you had a women's champ from TNA be a part of the women's Royal Rumble. So when the Shield theme music came on, I'm thinking to myself, is Ambrose coming out? Now, the last thing I was thinking was Seth Rollins was coming out. But if you're going to do the Shield theme music, why not have both of them come out? But I guess they didn't communicate with Moxie, as they call him now, in AEW. So Roman Reigns runs back in the ring, and he Superman punches Seth Rollins. Now, at first, I'm saying to myself, wait, Seth Rollins came out in Shield gear. Why? It took a while for me to process it, but after I break down the match, then I'll speak on it. So, The Rock has this belt, and he was getting ready to beat Cody Rhodes. And then, the surprise that I did not expect happened. Because there was rumors that Stone Cold was coming. And I would have been in awe if Stone Cold was there. Because then we would have saw the exchange with him and The Rock. We might have got that infamous stunner where The Rock sells the hell out of it. But I was looking forward to it. I ain't even gonna hold you. But then we heard gong. And when you heard that, that place went nuts. Because we know what that sound means. We know that the dead man is in the building. Now, obviously, we know he ain't gonna do his long entrance. No. So we also know when that light comes back on, he's gonna be behind the Rock. And rightfully so, that's exactly what was the case. And listen, The Rock was selling that shit like crazy, man. The final boss. The final boss. Then when he turned around and he saw The Undertaker and the face that he had, he was just shocked as hell. Shocked as hell. He tried to hit The Undertaker, and then The Undertaker caught him with the chokeslam. And then the lights go out. Taker is gone. Roman Reigns gets up. He has the chair in his hand. Is Roman in the ring? Is Cody in the ring? Is Seth Rollins in the ring? Now, in this situation, you would think that Roman Reigns would take this opportunity and just beat the bloody hell out of Cody Rhodes to win the match. But what does he do? He sees Seth Rollins in the Shield gear and takes his attention to Seth Rollins. After he does that, then he tries to go to Cody Rhodes. He tries to finish him with the spear. And what does Cody Rhodes do? He counters it and gives him 3 crossroads. 1, 2, 3. The tribal chief is done. The story is finished. Cody Rhodes is your new Universal Heavyweight Champion. Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion. Now, back to this whole Seth Rollins in Shield gear. I had to go back to a couple of Raws. Because you got to pay attention to these promos before these matches take place. And I remember Seth Rollins telling Cody Rhodes that I could be your Shield for this match. That was a double entendre that Seth Rollins was given. I just didn't pay attention to it when he first said it. But after that match, I went back and watched the old promos leading up to WrestleMania. And then I understood what he meant. He knew that if he came out in that gear, that would fuck up Roman Reigns' psyche. And that's exactly what it did. Because at the end of the day, Roman Reigns never forgave Seth Rollins for turning his back on the Shield. He never forgave him. If you remember, a few Royal Rumbles ago, they fought. Hell of a match. Seth Rollins won by DQ. Why? Because Roman Reigns won by DQ by beating the shit out of him with a chair. Now remember, Seth Rollins never got a rematch. He never got his rematch for that match. But he told Cody Rhodes that I could be your Shield for this match. So as much as we want to give credit to The Undertaker for showing up, we could give credit to Jimmy Uso for showing up. We could give credit to John Cena for showing up. But the unsung hero in this match really was Seth Rollins. Because he knew how to get Roman off his game. I'm going to come out in this Shield gear. I'm going to sacrifice myself. And that will open the door for Cody Rhodes to take that belt off of Roman Reigns. Because he's going to be so focused on hurting me that he's going to forget about Cody Rhodes. And that's exactly what happened. That's the storytelling for this. The whole storytelling for this has been nothing but amazing. And again, this is about three years worth of storytelling. And it was nothing but amazing. All across the board. I love how Cody Rhodes got his roses at the end of that match. You had LA Knight come out. You had Randy Orton come out. You had Jay Uso come out. You had John Cena come out. You had Cody Rhodes' family, his wife, his mother. Everybody was in awe. Michael Cole. Listen. Samantha Irvin. I want to say this about her. And if y'all don't know who she is, she's the ring announcer for Raw. She was the ring announcer for all the matches at Mania. I thought they would split it with the ring announcer for SmackDown, but she did all the ring announcing. I know she gets a lot of flack on social media. I know people say, oh, why do they show her so much? Why do they show her so much? Let me tell you something. She got praise from Michael Buffer for her ring announcing. And if you don't know who Michael Buffer is, then you ain't living right. If she was able to get her flowers from him, y'all opinion don't mean shit. And from beginning to end, from night one to night two, she did an amazing job with her ring announcing. From ring announcing the winner of Sami Zayn and Gunther for night one to announcing the winner of this match, you can hear the emotion in her voice. You could tell that tears was flowing down her face making that announcement. Who was it? Corey Graves or Michael Cole? Even they picked it up. Yeah. If you are a WWE fan, you was invested in Cody Rhodes' story. You was heavily invested into the story. You definitely wanted him to finish it. You can't lose the first WrestleMania and then spin the block, get a rematch, and lose the second one. Hell no. It defeats the purpose.
Well, we supposed to go another year this shit? Hell no. You better finish this shit now. And he did. I was very much happy and very much proud of this. But let me tell you something, man. Night one and night two, man, the crowd came out, man. The crowd came out for WrestleMania, man. They set a record. They set a record, man. In total,
you had 145,298 fans fill up Lincoln Financial Stadium in two nights.
in 2 nights, I'm going to say it again, 145,298 fans. That's how many fans showed up. Now, the only other arena that I think would have succeeded that would have been the Cowboys. Because, you know, that stadium could pack up 100,000 fans if they could. In fact, they did that a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to have to look at the numbers. Because they said that WrestleMania 40 broke a record. So I'm assuming WrestleMania 38, which was in Texas, I'm assuming that was the record that they broke. But listen, my shout out is to Samantha Irvin. Because her ring announcing was nothing but amazing. Nothing but amazing. So that is my shout out for this episode. She did an amazing job. Shout out to Paul Heyman for being in the 2024 Hall of Fame. I'm not even going to lie to you. I didn't follow this Hall of Fame class. His speech was the only speech that I was very much intrigued with. I'm not even going to lie to you. And I wasn't disappointed. My man came out in his long black trench coat. My man came out with the ECW hat. My man came out with the big phone from back in the day. Paul Heyman deserves it. The greatest manager in the industry in history, in my opinion. I know some people say Bobby the Brain Heenan, and I'm not going to knock them, but I got to go with somebody that I knew from my era, and I'm going with Paul Heyman. I was always biased with Paul Bear. I was always biased with him. But I got to go with Paul Heyman. I just have to do it. I have to do it. But yes, I enjoyed this WrestleMania. I definitely enjoyed it. If I had to put a grade on it from 1 through 10, I'd give it a solid 8. A solid 8. And my matches of the night, I already told you what my match of the night was for night one. And that was Gunther and Sami Zayn. And for night two, the match of the night was the main event. And that would be Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. So there you have it for my WrestleMania recap. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a wrap for this episode. Your boy's got to go. I have to get ready for my barbershop appointment. But I want to thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Y'all can find me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Amazon Music, Podbean, iHeartRadio. You can also find me on Spotify. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram, DreDay1985, or Sportswear with DreDay Podcast. The link is in the bio. Or you can find me on X, DreDay1985. The link is in the bio. And again, you can find me on Facebook. The name is DreDay. Once again, thank you for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with DreDay Podcast. Episode 328 is done. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. Episode 328 is over. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace.